This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 137 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. It follows the same format as the historical Frank Fitzsimmons series, so we simply call it Where Fitz Left Off. Now, when the connector plans were presented to the Planning and Zoning Board with the State Highway Commission, the state said, quote, "The plan might be changed a few feet either way, but the project was final and had been approved by the Highway Commission." More after this. It having been made abundantly clear that the Highway Commission would not entertain any design suggestions from Hendersonville as far as the new connector was concerned, it was pointed out by Dan Vismore, who was the professional planner with the Regional Planning Commission under contract to Hendersonville, that the weakness of what the state had proposed dealt with the surface crossings of the Southern Railroad. Vismore explained the methodology used by the Bureau of Public Roads in determining the formula, which established not only safety of a crossing, but cost to the motoring public for motors idling, waiting for trains to pass. If the formula resulted in, let's say, and I'm just using a number, number 5, the Bureau said something should be done about the crossing. Bill Stokes, who was head of the Water Department, assisted in the project by having one of his men monitor just the 7th Avenue crossing from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. each day. The man would count the number of vehicles backed up and how long they were being held up. Well, everything was going great for the first few days, and we were really racking up some eye-popping numbers, and suddenly, no trains. Somebody had apparently passed the word to the railroad that something's going on over there in Hendersonville, so the railroad simply routed all trains through Hendersonville between midnight and 5 a.m. Perhaps the word had leaked out that the planning board had an architect doing a sketch of actually lowering the railroad tracks so that simple surface bridges would guarantee passage of cars over the trains. In fact, next time you cross the railroad at 7th Avenue, notice the 7th Avenue crossing is on top of a hill. We were suggesting that the track simply be lowered beneath the surface crossings. Now, let me tell you from experience, that may have sounded like a simple solution, but the highway folks just don't like to tangle with the railroads. Almost never do they win. In fact, everybody thinks all the new guard gates and lights at various railroad crossings are being installed by the railroad. Wrong. They're paid for by the Department of Transportation with federal funds under the ICE-T, that's an acronym, under the ICE-TREE budget. But we had gathered enough data during that first week to document our argument. I earlier used for instance, a safety factor of, say, 5, just as a number. The study showed with no increase in traffic at the crossing, the number had already passed 10. And as I say, I'm using only suggested numbers. The tally was double the number which the Bureau of Public Roads used to determine that it was urgent that something be done about the crossing. Well, with the help of professional planners, Hendersonville's case was thoroughly documented. An appointment was made with Billy Rose, who was administrator of the State Highway Commission, to permit Hendersonville to make an official presentation. Chief Police Bill Powers escorted the mayor, A.V. Edwards, City Councilman Melvin Hatch, Planner Dan Vismore, and myself. This was the first time I'd ever been in the boardroom of the State Highway building in Raleigh. In later years, when I saw the movie Network, I was reminded of that experience. Billy Rose sat at one end of huge dual tables, which had 12 upholstered armchairs on each side. Our little group was sat at the other end. The presentation was made, and I could tell that when we got to the railroad crossing numbers, the attitude changed. We were told simply the state would re-examine the plan, they'd be in touch with us, and we were dismissed. The city was kept on hold for 2 years. We heard nothing. On May 19, 1965, 2 years later, the State Highway Commission unveiled a totally new plan. The plan resulted in the connector as we know it today, which would be elevated above floodplain level and would cross the railroad with a bridge 22 feet above the roadbed. 7th Avenue would become one way between Grove Street and its connection with 6th Avenue at Buncombe. 6th Avenue would handle eastbound traffic to where both streets connected into a new four-lane highway at Harris Street, running on to I-26. This is exactly what you see today. Well, the merchants and property owners on 7th Avenue reacted violently, demanding the state go back to the original plan. And the city was caught in crossfire between diverging opinions, with the city voting on one occasion to go back to the old plan, then reversing itself and adopting the new plan. This went on for a year, until May 25, 1966, when the city council finally adopted final action. Members of the seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and with a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda for the next 50 years.